Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat for Monday, March 12th, 2012. I'm Lisa, and joining me today are Mouse Chatters Bob, Chris, Lauren, Steve, and we also have George. Welcome, everyone.
Hey there.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
On today's show, we will bring you news from all around Disney, and we're going to have some news, and our main show topic today is going to be tips to get you ready for your trip to Disney World. And there's going to be a little bit of interpretation with this topic, so we'll see what we come up with. Let's get the ball started, get the ball rolling, if I could say it right. Let's get the ball rolling with news, and Bob, tell us about Cars Land.
Oh, well, exciting news from Disney that the long-anticipated Cars Land out in Disneyland will officially open June 15th. It is a huge expansion. It's going to add 12 acres to the park. And among the new attractions that guests can look forward to will be Radiator at Radiator Springs Coming to Life will be Radiator Springs Racers, which looks amazing in YouTube videos, Luigi's Flying Tires, and Mater's Junkyard Jamboree. And the park will also gain new eateries in Flo's V8 Cafe and Clarabella's Hand-Scooped Ice Cream, among other attractions. I mean, it really looks amazing. I mean, it just captures the whole essence of the Cars movies. So I'm thrilled to see this and hope to get out to Disneyland soon so I can see it in person. Opening also on the same day will be Buena Vista Street and Kaharthi Circle Theater as well. So that kind of completes the whole big renovation that they were doing at Disney's California Adventure. And just an advisory for anybody thinking of traveling out there, June 14th, in order to prepare for the grand opening, California Adventure will be closed on June 14th, but Disneyland will remain open that day. So just plan accordingly if you're, you know, planning on being out there for the grand opening. So that's that, yeah.
So are they taking over the whole park on the 14th or just the Cars Land section?
No, apparently the whole park will be closed.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of that, too, is because it's going to be a media preview day, and they anticipate, I would imagine, a lot of media there. So, yeah, the whole park will be closed for that.
That'll be cool, because last time I was at California Adventure, it was pretty empty. And Disneyland was packed, so it'll be nice to even out the crowds and have something else to go to over there.
Yeah, and they've really put a lot into it. I mean, not only with Cars Land opening now, but, I mean, with the World of Color nighttime show, which has really brought in crowds at least in the afternoon, evening hours. But the Silly Symphony and the swings and the, you know, they've been working hard to attract people to that park, and I think they've done a really nice job with that.
Chris, you want to talk about Avatar and...
Well, the latest rumor is that it's dead. It's not going to happen. So we don't know if it's true
Yay.
Or not. I think, yeah. And
not a lot of lost.
No. And I just, I posted something on Facebook and like in 15 minutes, there were, you know, 30 some comments all echoing the same opinion that no one really wants it to happen. But we don't know if it's, you know, completely true or not. But I think George has something to add to that.
Yeah. I spoke to another Disney blogger who has some friends working in the company, and it's sort of like third or fourth hand information, but apparently the marketing department has dropped all mention of it. You know, I think I heard you guys talking about on an earlier podcast. I mean, pretty much anybody can name any character in any of the Harry Potter films. You've seen them all, but nobody can name any of the characters in Avatar or what happened in Avatar for the most part.
Right.
So
wasn't there a blue guy? And
yeah, that was the Smurf movie that you watched, Bob.
Yeah.
So the marketing department has dropped it and said this is not something that we think will go at all. You know, there's one artist who works on every Pie in the Sky, Slimmest Chance production. He does all the artwork for it. He's been reassigned. And nobody can tell you in the company who's actually working on the Avatar project at all. And I've also heard inklings of Cameron and Disney not getting along very well. So, and he's not making the other two movies. He's put them on hold. They're on hiatus, so to speak. So I think that pretty much says it's Avatar Land is gone, and heard another rumor that they might try to put John Carter in there, but people kind of dismissed that one. So
Star Wars.
Well, they got to pay George Lucas a whole lot of money.
Yeah, but see, they seem to have a better relationship with George Lucas, or a good relationship with George Lucas.
Yeah.
I know that James Cameron has a reputation for being a perfectionist and a pain in the butt to work with, but I think Disney has that reputation too, you know, to an extent. So, yeah, they probably are two heads, you know, butting one another.
Yeah, but it's just that, you know, from what we understand, it's been dead since November.
Wow.
And they're also not denying any of the rumors that have been floating around on a lot of the boards and some of the other social media places we've been following. So we can hope. We've got our fingers crossed that it is.
But so they're not going to, like, come out with a big announcement saying we've decided to go in another direction. They're just going to let it quietly die and sweep it under the rug.
Probably. But I've also heard other rumors that the Fantasyland expansion is going to be tremendous. It's going to be fantastic. People are going to walk in there and have their minds blown. And I have to whisper this, there might be a Frontierland reboot in the next couple of years, too. But You didn't hear me say that.
Say what?
And what's rumored for that?
That they're working on concept. And put it this way, they're pulling a lot of the Western River Expedition blueprints out of Imagineering and looking at stuff and different things they can possibly do with the whole area.
Now, would they expand it, or would they just redo what's there?
Yeah, I think the reboot's sort of like what they're doing in Fantasyland. They might go down to a blank slate, wipe everything out, and start over. But, I mean, you can't lose Big Thunder Mountain. You can't lose Splash Mountain.
No.
Those are signature attractions. So you're talking about the waterfront, the Rivers of America, Tom Sawyer Island.
Oh, I like that area, though.
Yeah. So, well, they're going to turn it into Cupcake Island, Lauren.
Oh, okay. Well, then we're good.
Duffy and
Is there going to be a margarita
Duffy.
Stand in the middle?
Duffy Island.
Yeah, a margarita stand.
A margarita stand. No, not
just
at the Magic
Kingdom.
Just sugar
and liquor.
That's
not
all
at
I need.
Magic Kingdom. No, that's not allowed. But that's all we know. That's all we've heard inklings of the Frontierland reboot. If everything goes well and the Fantasyland is well received, we'll probably see other things happening as well.
Have you heard any rumors about when Goofy's going to open? And I know they moved Dumbo again, the opening date for Dumbo.
Yeah,
have you heard anything?
All I've heard is they're probably going to open at the same time.
Okay, so Goofy and Dumbo are... Okay, so it's probably not going to be till the 31st?
Yeah, probably till the end of the month.
Sad. We're going to miss it.
Oh, yeah, all you people going on the inaugural Fantasy Cruise. Yeah, okay. Miss it all you want.
I'm not going to miss it. I'm going to be back.
Yeah.
but I'll be sure to take photos for all you guys.
Can you even fit in those little elephant cars, Bob?
No. As it stands, you should see me try to get into Splash Mountain. And I literally have to sit sideways, and it's painful. So, no, I'm not about to shove myself into an elephant because I'm afraid I won't be able to get out when the fried vehicle is stopped. Much to the disappointment of other children who are waiting to ride, they would have to get the jaws of life to extract me.
Wait, I would actually pay to see that.
Right. I would, too. I'd actually pay to see Bob sitting with his legs hanging out as a ride goes down.
On Dumbo.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes, this is what I have for friends, people. this is sad, but well, that's cool. I mean, if Avatar is scrapped, I mean that I think would free up a lot of money for other projects. Let's say, you know, projects that they could, you know, put into Hollywood Studios or, you know, Epcot, two parks that I think really need it.
Mm-hmm. So. You would hope so, but, you know, rumor is if it goes away quietly and nobody says anything, they'll just do something else. But who knows what? But, you know, Animal Kingdom does need some other things, so.
Yeah, and that's true, too. I mean, it's at this point, it's what needs it more? What needs it the most?
Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, Hollywood Studios needs some attention, but, you know, I don't know. I say put all your love in the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing a lot of good stuff in the Magic Kingdom. I would like to see them do something in Hollywood Studios. I think that's potentially a great park. It just needs a little attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what, though? I still think Animal Kingdom needs a little bit more, too.
And Epcot. And
I think
Plenty
Animal
Island
Kingdom needs something to draw people there, because I don't think.
Well, if we go back to what Jim Hill had said at one point when he was on the show a while back, and he talked about how they would love to keep people in Animal Kingdom, all day and up until, let's say, 8, 9 o'clock. I think we probably will eventually see something in Animal Kingdom. It's just a matter of what, do you put a big attraction in there? Do you put a walkthrough exhibit? What is going to draw people, there? So, and you can't really focus on just one park, because, you have four parks. So, yeah, one park can be great, but what's to keep people going to those other parks, and buying those multi-day tickets?
So they can go to the Magic Kingdom over and over and over again. Right? Uh-huh. Right?
Well, so. That's what I do.
But Animal Kingdom does need some attention. I mean, not a lot of family-friendly stuff in one area.
Oh, I totally disagree with you.
Oh, no. There are some family-friendly things, but,
there's not a lot for little ones to do there.
Yeah,
you know what? My kids can spend an entire day in that park.
Yeah, my kids go on two things, and then they're like, all right, can we go ride a Rock and Roller Coaster?
Yeah, I mean, I love that park because I love the theming. I think the theming is the best of all the parks, even though it's not my favorite park by any means. But I also think there's plenty for kids to do there. My kids, literally, we have to drag them out of that park.
I mean, it's a beautiful park. I'm not doubting that. But I think, it's an example of Imagineering looking at how cool they can be by over-theming it and theming it tremendously.
Do you think it's over-themed, George? Seriously?
Yes, I do.
How so?
Oh, I don't agree.
No, that's just my opinion.
We're going to have to discuss this.
We got a little off topic here.
Yeah, we did.
We always do.
Well, Avatar Land is dead, so we'll just leave it at that. So.
Well, yeah.
Oh, is that where we started with that?
Yes, we started with that and let's end with that. Avatar
and that's
Land
fantastic.
Looks like it's dead.
I mean, everybody is happy about that. So what a good day,
They're
seriously,
dancing in the streets.
I know. My neighbors are dancing in the streets right now, actually.
I'm dancing in my office right now. I mean, you can't see it, but yeah.
Thank goodness.
I am doing the Cabbage Patch as we speak. It is awesome.
Okay, I'm going to jump in and put an end to this nonsense. And I'm going to do my story about Robert Sherman of the Sherman Brothers. Robert and Richard Sherman were known for doing a lot of Disney songs, doing a lot of writing for the Disney company. They got two Academy Awards in their span of time. Some of the more popular songs, more well-known songs that they did, a lot of them came from Mary Poppins, and that's where they also won an award. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, that was another award-winning movie with a song that won an award. One of the most just repetitive, mind-numbing songs, It's a Small World, that was theirs. And I mean that in a good way. No, I mean, it's one of those that just stays with you, and it's just forever and ever, and it goes on. Tiki Room, they did the Tiki Room song. And Jungle Book, Aristocats, they had a list of movies that they contributed to, Winnie the Pooh. So he died. He was 86, and he'll be missed.
Yeah, definitely legendary. So that is a big loss to the Disney family.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to Lauren.
Yes.
The Fantasy.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Lauren the Fantasy.
No. There was
no? Oh, you were talking about
me. Between there. Yeah, that wasn't a comma. There was a period.
Maybe it was a colon. There's actually a colon, and a comma really wouldn't work, I think.
You love your pronunciations.
I don't know. It just seems like a colon. Lauren the Fantasy.
Well, no, that's the way she wants it to be read. Mine was a comma because I'm stressing her.
Yeah, if you put a colon in there, it makes it sound like it's a stage show.
True, actually. I'm getting an image of her in a slinky dress.
Is it red?
Yeah, of course it is.
You know, strapless. There's a guy playing piano, and it's kind of like a smoky, you know, atmosphere.
On top of a piano. Yeah.
Okay, how did we get here?
Well, you started it, Lauren, but talk about, please save us and talk about the fantasy.
Okay, so Disney's newest ship, the Fantasy, arrived home last Tuesday morning. Hundreds actually greeted the Fantasy when she sailed into Port Canaveral, which will be her home port for Caribbean sailing starting March 31st. And we're actually going to be on it a week before that. They actually had an amazing fireworks display as the ship sailed into port after it nearly traveled nearly 4,700 miles across the Atlantic Ocean from Germany, with a little pit stop in New York for the christening. And that's it. So she's here. She's ready.
Yep. We are pumped, I'm sure.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Yeah. Looks like a beautiful ship, and I'm sure we'll have lots to talk about. You know.
Well, we got our documents today, so we even know what stations we're in. Lauren, did you get yours?
No.
Oh.
Yep.
They're coming to me directly?
Yeah. I think. I didn't
get them. So what stateroom did you get?
Well, later.
Okay.
Again. We don't want strangers knocking on the door going, hey, Lisa, can you read me a bedtime story tonight?
I'm bringing the Duffy book.
Oh, yeah.
It's like if you have anything shiny, you guys just get distracted.
I know. It's, that is actually...
We're like babies with keys. You know,
you have no idea.
All right, we're moving on. We're done with news, right? No one else has anything else.
I do. Well, it's...
I've got no mute on this thing. I can't mute my laughing.
poor Steve. Poor Steve.
I do have one more story. It's not Disney related. It's actually Universal, but I think it's
okay.
A cool
yes, you do.
Story.
I'm sorry. I did have down for two.
Yeah, I just wanted to let everyone know if you are fans of Islands of Adventure and the Spider-Man attraction, that it reopened late last week with new technology, new 4K high definition technology. So with the upgrades, you know, while the ride. You know, the story is the same. They've improved the sound throughout, and most importantly, where you'll see the changes are in the details themselves. I mean, the 4K high definition means that you can actually see the stitching on Spider-Man. Villains look more pronounced in scenes. There are new buildings and effects in each scene. So it looks far more realistic and is getting rave reviews. And something fun, co-creator of Spider-Man Stan Lee actually makes three appearances as a bystander in the attraction now. So when you're in Spider-Man enjoying it, keep your eyes peeled, and you might just spot Stan Lee. So that's pretty cool. So I should be getting on that soon, and we'll report back my thoughts.
And those will be good.
Yeah. Yes, I love Spider-Man Ride. I think it's great, and I think it was due for some upgrading. It was starting to look a little bit worn out, so it's good that they made the changes.
All right, so I think this puts us to our main topic, and today is going to be your best tips, suggestions, advice for before you get to Disney World. And we're going to concentrate on Disney World only, I think. You know what? We always stray, so who knows where this is going to go. But the plan is to help you prepare for your Disney World trip. And I think I want to start with something very basic and a little bit fun. Some things that people might not think about to pack for their Disney World trip, or something that they always forget. So think about that for a second, and I'm going to start with George, throwing you under the bus right off the bat.
Oh, well, that's easy. All that I ever have to pack are electronic devices and support devices for my electronic devices. And that's, you know, make sure you have a travel extension cord or charger, not the stupid thing you plug into the wall and it's got outlets in it.
Okay.
Wow, I'm blanking completely on what that is. A power cord.
Something, yeah.
Yeah, like a surge protector. Yeah, power strip. Wow. Yeah. Yay. You can buy a travel power strip and plug it into a wall and then plug in all of your devices, but I just make sure I have my cell phone batteries, extra chargers to take in the park, the camera, the extra batteries for the camera, everything I'm going to need. And that's all I worry about, because my wife will pack the underwear and the socks and the deodorant and everything else.
You make her do your packing for you?
No. She does it for me.
She loves to do it for him.
She does it for me. So, no, but if I go like on a research trip, I just have to count on my fingers 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, and then you pull out that many pair of underwear and that many pair of socks and that many shorts and that many shirts, and I'm good to go.
Nice. So,
okay.
That's all I have to worry about.
And people, you know, that actually is good advice, not about packing the underwear and socks.
Well, you need those too, but.
Yes, you do need those, but I think people do forget to bring power cords or chargers, and mm-hmm. you know, or they forget to charge their devices when they get back to their room, and then they find themselves in the park the next day, and they need to make a call, and the cell phone's dead, or they want to take a picture, and the camera's dead, and
So you can get a travel power cord to take with you is probably the one thing I never leave home without. It's already packed in my bag, ready to go for my next trip. So
okay, good point. Let's do Lauren.
What do I always pack my poncho. I'm dorky. Okay. I feel like it's my insurance so that it won't rain. And I carry it around the park with me too, even if it's not supposed to rain.
Well,
but it's insurance.
It's good for water rides. I mean, I got terribly soaked on Splash Mountain recently.
You're right; it is good for water rides.
And you know, so you never know if you're going to be on that or Kilimanjaro, you know, River Rapids, the Cali River Rapids, rather.
Yeah.
So it's great for that. And then I mean, you don't know whether it's going to rain, especially if you are going during the summer season.
Okay.
When it is typically rainy and the skies can just in a moment's notice open up and pour for
later it's sunny.
Yeah, 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. But it never usually lasts. But I mean, the sky literally can just change in a heartbeat.
We came out of Brown Derby that one time and I had to go buy a poncho. Or I think your wife was nice enough to run somewhere and get one for me.
I had to buy one that night too because I didn't bring it.
And the storms
ponchos are so bad.
See, that's why it rained, because I didn't bring my poncho.
See, you have to bring your own poncho from home, because those ponchos are so flimsy.
No, mine's the one from there, though.
You keep that one?
I keep it. I've been using the same one for... Of course, now I have some new ones that I've acquired, because when I don't bring it, it does rain. I have to buy another one. But the other thing I always, always, always make sure I have is extra batteries and extra SD cards for my camera.
Okay. Kind of going along with what George said.
Yep.
Well, Lauren, you don't bring a laptop with you to upload your pictures?
You know what? I do bring my tablet, but I don't bring a laptop.
Okay. And you can't transfer the pictures to the tablet?
I probably can, but I'm just not that advanced yet.
Honesty, that's good.
Yeah, I have no idea how to hook my camera up to my tablet.
Just a couple things that I thought of, because I'm just plain mommy, I suppose. Sound machine. We always bring a sound machine. I think it's smart to bring a nightlight. Just some things that make you feel a little more comfortable in a strange place. And of course, I bring my Lysol wipes.
You don't have to shower in the morning.
Ew. I like the way they smell, but not that much.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, that's, I have to wipe things down.
Now, bringing the lights is a fantastic idea. You're not going to bump your feet when you go up to the bathroom or trip over something.
Yeah, you never know if kids are going to get up. You know, just to give them – you can always leave the door open to the bathroom or something, but the nightlight, it helps get you back to the bed, I suppose, after you turn the bathroom light off. I don't know. But I think that helps. But I do have some odd things that I bring when we go on a vacation, and that's one of them: the nightlight, the sound machine, and the Lysol wipes.
I just thought of something that I always make sure I bring: gum.
Yeah,
You can't buy it there.
Nope, they don't want you to chew it there.
That's why I have to bring it with me so I can still chew it there.
And
you can't even buy that in the airport.
But I have a slew of different things that I bring. We also bring the power strip, because it helps. It sounds silly, but it does help. And
we have a camera, then a video camera, then two cell phones, and there's just not enough outlets in the room for all that kind of stuff.
Mm-mm.
Computer.
Okay. Well, Steve, go ahead. What do you bring?
One thing that people forget about is if you want to try pin trading and you don't want to pay $8 a pin or more for a lot of those pins. So we buy some on eBay for $1 or maybe $2 at the most. You can get them pretty cheap and then get a lanyard, and then you can experience pin trading with your kids and do it the affordable route. And we also do the same thing with all the $20 toys that they sell at night when the parades are going on. Sometimes we'll pick some up at a toy store or Walmart or Target and then bring those with us.
And that's great, too, with those glow sticks that kids love.
Yeah, the necklaces.
Yeah, bracelets. You can get a lot of that stuff even at, like, dollar stores.
Yeah.
You know, and you can get, like, packages of them real cheap. I've got a good
one. Yeah, I was going to say, Bob, you may as well take it.
A comfortable pair of shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't know how some people walk around the park, but I've seen people walking in boots.
I don't understand.
You know, construction-type shoes.
No, I've worn my Uggs.
And I made the mistake of walking in sandals one day, which I do not recommend.
Well, you know, you wear those flip-flops sometimes, too, which are so bad for your feet.
Yeah, I mean, that's there's absolutely no support. So, I mean, I know a lot of people, when they go on vacation, they buy all new clothes, and so they'll buy new shoes. But you really don't want to wear brand-new shoes that you haven't broken in on vacation. I mean, you're going to be doing a lot of walking. You need something with support. You know, leave your high heels, your combat boots, you know, your flip-flops, like I made the mistake of wearing, you know, at home, and you know, bring that ratty, broken-in pair of sneakers, because your feet will thank you at the end of the day. Another thing that goes along with that, moleskin or Band-Aids, because, you know, a lot of people do get blisters, you know, despite, you know, everything, you know. So if you do end up with a blister on your toe or on your foot or something, you know, you definitely want to have some kind of cushioning there so that it
Band-Aids
hurts
are always
less.
A good idea.
Mm-hmm. And again, I mean, you know, something like that, too. I mean, if you do happen to forget, you can go to first aid at the park and, you know, they'll have Band-Aids that they can give you. But, you know, just easier, if, you know, rather than stopping and having to walk all the way there in pain, you know, you can just pull one out.
Chris, do you have a few things?
Yeah, I mean, I generally bring my own sunblock because I don't like what they sell in the park, and it's pretty overpriced. And if you're pale like I am, it's probably not a high enough SPF. And the other thing I always bring is my flat iron. I mean, I don't go anywhere without that. So I'm the only person I know who probably, you know, religiously needs their flat iron, though.
What kind of SPF do you use? Like a 400?
Yes.
A 500?
That's actually
well,
it.
That actually is what's recommended in like June and July.
You know what? In all seriousness, I mean, I probably like a 75 or something.
Wow.
I thought you asked me about my flat iron.
I don't even know what that is. So
it's for your hair, George.
Oh, I thought it was a thing for my shirt and my pants.
No, they have those in the room, but they don't have flat irons in the room. So. You know, a lot of times, though, I mean, like, you know, there's actually a whole thread on Disboards about, like, makeup that will hold up in the parks. And I generally don't wear makeup in the parks, but, you know, you kind of, you know, you have to kind of step up your routine a little bit if you're going to be one of those kind of people who wears a lot of makeup. You know, it's going to sweat off. You know, my hair, it just goes crazy in Orlando because of the humidity. I have really curly hair, so I usually will bring like some more, you know, humidity defying kind of product for my hair. So
wow.
Well, Chris, I'm just going to point out real quick that this was kind of general advice, not specific to your hair.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, no, just like, throw one more in that you think is something that people might not think about.
Okay, so let me see. Sunblock and...
That's a good one because it is very expensive in the parks.
It is expensive in the parks and great shoes, like Bob said.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, how do you keep from looking so shiny when you're in the parks?
Yeah, do you put powder? Do you powder your nose?
I hate you so much.
No, in all seriousness, though, you would be surprised how many people think about their makeup and how they're going to get it to stay on in the park.
Oh, and then how they don't want to go on a water ride.
And how many people actually spend time reading about it on Disboards?
I read about it. I
know,
like,
it's scary.
I'm going to have to get that mascara because it does sweat off.
George, to answer your question, George, I will never tell. You know, I never reveal my secrets. So
I was just thinking you stay in the shade all day. That's it. Don't venture out of the shade.
You know, hey, you know, being this tall, I'm a lot closer to the sun than the rest of you.
You make the shade.
Right. Oh, stop. You're only 6 inches taller than George and what? A few inches taller than Steve. It's not like you're Wilt Chamberlain.
He's strikingly tall.
Or Willie the Giant, yeah.
Well, I like Willie the Giant.
So all sounds right.
Moving on, now that you've actually flustered me. I'm actually like beat red.
Steve, do I get an award for that?
You might get a bonus in your check.
Nice.
Sweet.
Nice.
Okay.
I shall have my revenge.
Oh, no.
So the next thing I want to ask you about would be advice as far as research. And you can be specific, Chris, you know, to a specific target guest. So if, you know, you've got someone that has special hair needs, what kind of advice would you give them as far as not what to bring, but what just to research or to look up to know about? So I'm going to start. Bob, let's start with you.
I would say become familiar with some of Disney's more popular animated movies. Like Peter Pan and, you know, Beauty and the Beast and, you know, I don't know, Winnie the Pooh and some of those types
Song
of features.
Song of the South, if you can.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you're lucky enough to find a copy of that. Actually, you can find most of it on YouTube. You just have to watch it in pieces. I think it'll help. You know, a little bit as you go through attractions like Peter Pan's Flight or Snow White's Scary Adventures, if you're getting there before May 31st when it closes forever, you know, or the Winnie the Pooh ride or, you know, things like that. And Beauty and the Beast, you know, you see the stage show, and if you've seen the animated film, you'll already be familiar with it. So watching some of the animated features, you know, especially if you have kids too, it'll help them become familiar.
Right. And I'll piggyback on that. Even just watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, if they don't know who Mickey Mouse is, not everyone does or realizes that, you know, he's got this relationship with these other characters. And Kim Possible, too. That's going to help you in Epcot.
Oh, and Phineas and Ferb.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I like that.
And another good thing to have them watch is those Disney sing-along videos. Because some of them are actually taped inside the parks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. And while we're going along with that, I mean, if your trip is a little bit a ways and you haven't done so, get the free DVD from Disney. You know?
Oh, yeah, we watch that all the time.
Yeah, and that'll give you some footage of inside the parks and the resorts and things and kind of give you a little bit of an overview.
That was part of my recommendation.
Oh, well.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and finish mine then.
Okay.
I was going to say the DVD is going to give you a good overview of everything. And I think it's a good idea to look into transportation and get a true, realistic idea of how long it's going to take you to go from here to there and, you know, based on your resort and what different modes of transportation you can take, because there are different options. There's more than just the motor coaches. So check out transportation because it can be your friend. Let's see. How about Steve?
I guess I'll tee this up for Chris and Lauren. This is not something that I usually do, but I know a lot of people do, which is itinerary planning. So using lines or touring plans or getting out the Excel spreadsheet and writing it all down.
Scheduling your bathroom breaks. Yeah, those are important. Okay, George, you find that so amusing, it's your turn.
Yes, I do have this thing with bathrooms. I don't understand it either. Well, for me, it's doing some research about the park's history. You know, pick up a copy of Since the World Began by Jeff Kurdy, which is a fantastic history of Walt Disney World, or any of the other books that people have written about it, because, you know, it's easy to find out current information by hitting some internet websites, but finding out what used to be at a certain attraction or what the Imagineers' names mean on the second floor of Main Street USA, to me, that's the most fascinating part. And I will walk anybody through the parks and bore them to tears, because you can ask anybody I know with the little history details and stuff like that. Because I was really confused. I thought I was supposed to make recommendations about hair products, and I was like,
"Oh, George, do you bring your flat iron with you?"
No. I bring my USB drive.
George, why don't you just admit you do blow dry your hair?
I have to, because I have longer than normal hair for a guy. Yes. So.
Okay, Lauren, save me from these guys.
You're asking me to save you? That's never the case.
Please.
I always create more havoc. Honestly, one of my favorite things to do is, especially when my kids were young and they were, you know, a lot of Disney's rides are inside. So the little ones are a little bit intimidated by the fact that they can't see what's going on. And my girls were always afraid of the unknown. So one of the things that we did to get them used to some of the rides was we YouTubed them. With the lights on, with the lights off, and it took the fear out of it for them.
Ooh,
and then you threw them in a dark closet and kept them all overnight.
Well, yeah, and it worked. And then you know what else we did? We actually brought flashlights, like tiny, teeny, tiny little flashlights, so that they had control of the darkness.
Okay.
And it worked.
I've actually heard of using YouTube videos, too, if you have like a child who might be, you know, let's say like on the autism spectrum, and a lot of them have certain, you know, may have, you know, other needs and fears, and watching those rides on YouTube and learning about them is actually very, very helpful. So yeah, that's an excellent.
Yeah, probably more for the parent in that case, Bob, so they know what to expect, if there's loud noises or if it's going to take the kid out, because if the kid's going to be scared of it in person, they're probably going to be scared of it over the video as well.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, that's the best advice you can give anybody traveling with any person with a disability.
It's a trial run.
Just know them. You know what your child is going to do well at and what they're not going to do well at, and adapt to them. Mm. So
yep.
That's a good advice. Watch it on YouTube. Unless it's going to ruin the surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would take a little bit of the surprise element away from it, but
some kids are okay with that, and some kids just need to know. Like, my kids would not go into anything that they couldn't say. They were just like, nope, not doing it.
It's like my dad.
Really?
Yeah, he's scared of dark places like that. So, should show him YouTube.
There you go.
Lock him in a dark closet.
That also worked, George.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, you can throw spiders in there and some other stuff. You know, just cure all fears at once.
The other things that I try to do to prepare are researching where certain characters are that you might want to see, so that you don't spend your day wandering around aimlessly. And so you don't spend your day in lines that you don't want to be in. And the other thing is researching dining and really preparing dining and knowing where you're going to eat and having it all kind of mapped out.
That is very, very good. The whole dining thing, because
that's huge.
It is something that you need to plan out. Not something that you can just walk into Chef Mickey and say, I'd like to sit down and eat with Chef Mickey at 6 p.m. Because that's not going to happen. Me and my party of 12.
Yeah. Especially big groups have to do it too.
Lauren, is there a good place to go once you're in the park to find out where the characters are besides guest services or the tip board?
I usually try to do that before I go.
Okay.
There's websites that tell you different locations and different places.
Yeah, they are scheduled.
You know, and the Times Guide will usually have.
They'll have a lot of the big ones.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you pick up a Times guide when you enter the park each day, it should have some of the character locations on there and meeting times for all of them. So if you didn't look before you left the house.
And I like to kind of do the group ones too. Like I like to go to Epcot and stand in one line for Mickey, Goofy, for the, you know, the Fab Five.
Right. Get them all done. All the princesses.
Shot. Yeah. All the, I don't like to stand in this line for this, that line for that.
I do like the surprise characters, the not so common types that come out. I like them.
Every now and then. Me too. I agree. But that's the surprise part of it. You can't always find those. So
that's good. Okay, so this is going to kind of mix it up a little. Does anyone have any favorite books that they recommend that one reads before going to the world?
I usually like to go ahead and there's two different books I recommend. If someone, I can tell, like when I'm talking to someone and they seem like they really want to get into a lot of planning, I'll recommend an unofficial guide. But that's about, 900 pages, The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World. It's an excellent book, but not everyone wants to get into that. So to me, the second best book would be The Complete Walt Disney World, which is sort of a condensed version of The Unofficial Guide with pictures. And it's only about, I think it's maybe 300 pages. So that's a really good choice for someone who doesn't want to, you know, spend all their time planning.
So let's bring it out to left field. What else can we talk about to help people prepare? What about if they're going to be staying in a place that has a kitchen?
Garden Grocer and Lego Shop. You know,
and what are those?
Well, basically, those are two online grocery delivery services that a person can use so that they don't have to, you know, let's say take a cab to a grocery store, or even if they have a car and, you know, they're not familiar with the area, they don't want to have to go hunting for a Publix or a Walmart or something. Very simple to use. I mean, I guess the go-to is probably Garden Grocer, just because I think their website's laid out easier. You place an order, and I want to say with Garden Grocer, it's a $40 minimum.
A $14 charge for delivery.
Okay, thank you. And, just decide on, you know, what items you want, and people will order, you know, I mean, if they've got a kitchen, you know, that's great. They can stock up. But even if you're just staying in a standard room, I mean, people will buy bottled water. I mean, if you've got little
Pop-tarts.
Ones. Yeah, Pop-Tarts, cereal, and snacks.
Granola
I mean, if you've
bars,
got little ones, you've
chips.
Got, you know, diapers, wipes, swimmies, you know, all kinds of stuff. They've got like 5,000 different items on their website. And then, you know, everything gets delivered to your resort. You don't have to be there even, you know, they'll leave it with, you know, Bell Services if you're not there. And it's perfect. It's all there waiting for you. And it's worth the convenience.
One thing I would say that if you are going to order diapers, there are services that do just that. They deliver only diapers and wipes. And I don't know if they're more expensive, but
they
it might be a. Are they really?
Yeah.
Are they more expensive than Garden Grocer?
I'm actually speaking toward the diaper services that you can get on the Disney Cruise Line. So I can't speak to World.
Very pricey, yeah. But no, I mean, if you're just looking, I think, to send diapers and wipes, and you're not looking for bottled water or anything, I mean, another option, if you don't want to pack them into your luggage, which can be expensive since airlines charge now, you can ship down a box, I mean, ahead of time, you know, and just put it in your name and have the resort hold it for you. I've also heard that, like, Amazon.com and Diapers.com, which I think is even owned by Amazon, so same company, will ship directly to the resort.
You know, I would almost say that, you know, like for us, we went ahead and we would always put all the diapers and wipes in one bag. You know, and obviously we'd have room for more stuff because, you know, our kids, there's, you know, we had twins and obviously we used a lot of diapers, but we didn't need that much room. But and then we'd have space for taking stuff back. So I actually didn't mind, you know, bringing all that stuff from home.
Yeah, I don't know. But then you're possibly paying for a bag both ways.
Right. I mean, it depends on what you fly. Like if you fly Southwest where they give you two bags, you know, it makes sense to have one bag just be kind of, you know, stuff that you can go ahead and that you're probably going to be getting rid of and then you can Yeah, and then you can repack with all the junk your kids are going to pick up. Because I don't know about you, Lisa, but and Lauren, but my kids end up with a ton of stuff that we bring back. Yeah, so
there's always
me too, though.
Something.
Yeah, me too. Because you've got to have that Disney Snuggie, right?
Exactly.
You too?
Those are so ugly. Oh, my gosh.
They're comfortable. My kids fight over who gets to hang out with the Snuggie. With it.
I mean, it looks comfortable, but wow, is it hideous looking.
Yeah.
Well. Okay.
What else? To bring or not to bring the stroller. We've kind of talked about this in the past, too.
I would bring my own.
Yeah, and it depends on if you're flying or driving, how old your children are, umbrella stroller, full-size stroller. It depends. Are you going to go back to the room and take breaks?
You bring the full size if we fly or drive.
I do.
I don't know. To me, a full size stroller looks a lot more comfortable.
Well, yeah. And that's why I do it. Well, I do it because it's more comfortable. The kids can fall asleep in there, or kid, because it reclines. It has cup holders. It's more comfortable to push, and it has storage underneath.
God, I want the big one.
No, kidding.
A cup holder, it reclines. You know, it's got a little, I mean, it's shaded.
Bob, you couldn't get your big toe in the stroller.
No, that's true. I would look ridiculous.
Although it could be like the Dumbo ride. We could really enjoy watching them try.
Yep.
As long as they're extracting me from that, they can, you know, keep the jaws of life handy and extract me from a stroller.
I think, you know, go ahead and rent one. Obviously, obviously, don't buy a new one if your kids are out of the stroller and you think you're going to need one, like say they're 4 or 5. But, you know, I definitely always brought mine from home. I was way too cheap to rent one until this last trip. And that's just because the kids hadn't been in a stroller in like a year and a half. So,
well, you could also rent them off
site. Animal, I think.
Yeah,
I think,
that's what we did.
You know, and people underestimate. And yes, definitely rent.
And the ones off site are a little bit nicer. They're like more comfortable.
A lot cheaper and
nicer. They're not industrial.
Right.
They're pretty big. You know, they're basically, you've seen them, but they're like the size of those Bob strollers, basically. They're huge.
Bob, there you go.
I know. There's a stroller called a Bob stroller. It's, what is it? I don't even know what it stands for, but they're like huge.
Maybe on board?
No, I don't know what it is. Maybe that's what it is. When I go, I start this huge to-do list, like probably like 2 or 3 months ahead of time. And it's not like I'm constantly marking things off, but like every now and then I'm going around and I'm marking things off. And then like the last week I condense it. And so that I just have like, you know, maybe a couple pages of things I have to do, you know, like call the pet sitter, verify with the pet sitter, you know, my packing stuff, all of my important things.
Stop your mail, all that stuff.
Yeah, stop your mail. Like all the stuff that you're going to get down to Disney World and go, oh man, you know what I forgot to do? I forgot to get a pet sitter. The cats are starving. So, and then I'll go ahead and the last day I put it on the back of the front door so that as I'm walking out, leaving that morning, I see my list, and if it's not crossed off, I'm like, oh, I forgot my phone charger. And I don't forget my phone charger anymore because I do that every time. I have my list on the back of the door.
Yeah, I kind of do the same thing, Chris, so I can totally relate to that. I always have a list going, and then I have a list for a list for a list going usually.
Steve's a big lister.
I have to.
See, yeah. I mean, my mom was too. I mean, she would start writing lists out weeks and weeks in advance, and she'd pull out the suitcases and, you know, start throwing things in and start buying things at the store, you know, for a trip weeks in advance. I don't know. That's just not in my nature. I mean, I can probably pack in 10 minutes.
I don't pack right, you know, way, way in advance, but I definitely go ahead and start the list. Oh, but one packing thing I do weigh in advance. If you're going to Disney World in the colder months, and instead of putting away your kids' summer clothes, go ahead and put that in the suitcase that you're going to take. Because that way you don't have to go, you know, rummage through all their summer stuff and go, oh, you know, are they gonna need shorts in January? If it's already in the bag, you know, it's there and you don't have to look for it.
And just kind of feeding off of that thought, people always ask, you know, what's the weather like in, you know, November, December, January? You know, and the answer is it's all over the place. You just never know what the season is going to be like. I mean, it could be, you know, 80 degrees in December, you know, one day and, you know, 40 the next. Yep. And so, you know, you kind of have to be prepared because it can get cold. I mean, it gets chilly, it gets windy, and people feel it. So, you know, you might be in shorts in the morning and you might need jeans in the afternoon or evening. So, yeah, if you are going that time of year, you kind of have to pack a little of everything. And space saver bags are great for that, though. You know,
because you wear a lot of fluffy stuff.
Well, yeah. Yes, I do wear fluffy clothing.
Well, no, I meant one wears a lot of fluffy
stuff. Oh, one, yeah. Yes. I thought you were talking about me in particular.
I didn't want to bring that up on the podcast, but now
cat's out of the bag, yeah. But, yeah. And you know, if you're flying and your airline does charge for bags, you know, when you're packing, it might not be a bad idea to pull out the scale and weigh them, yeah. You know, because the worst thing, you know, to find out is to get to the airline, you know, check-in counter and find out you're 10 pounds overweight and, you know, you're going to be shelling out a lot more money now.
Well, I have been known to be at that check-in counter emptying things out of my big suitcase, putting them in my carry-on because I will not get stuck doing that.
Right. So there you go.
Now, you know what? That was many, many years ago. And since then, we do check the weight and we don't go within 5 pounds of it. It's just not smart.
And it's easy to do. I mean, I did it last year flying out to California. I mean, it didn't feel like 50 pounds, but it was over 50 pounds. So,
okay, Bob, did you get some mail this week?
I did, and I do believe I ticked off our friend Matt. Well, maybe he's your friend. I mean, he might not be my friend after this.
More.
our biggest shareholder and podcast fan. He writes, "Dear MouseChat.net, listening to Bob describe his experiences at One More Disney Day nearly drove me to toss my iPod out the window of my bus and onto Route 3 in New Jersey. And I know that road. I used to drive down Route 3.
Oh, Matt's from New Jersey?
Apparently.
Nice. I knew I liked him.
I have heard Vietnam War veterans recall their experience with more fondness than the way Bob described his experience at Disney World that day.
Oh.
Ouch. Depressing does not begin to explain how that account made me feel. Really? If the experience is too much for Bob to handle, I hereby volunteer my services to cover the same event on February 29th, 2016. I promise you I will find more joyful experiences to report on instead of the reenactment of National Lampoon's Animal House that Bob provided. I will also do so without taking additional cheap shots at the Main Street Electrical Parade, which I don't think I did.
I think you did one, yeah.
It wasn't a cheap shot. That's how I feel about it.
Okay.
Please feel free to contact me at any time if you're interested. If you feel I need supervision, I would gladly accompany Lauren and watch the parade with her a dozen times. Your biggest shareholder and podcast host fan, Matt. Ouch!
Yeah, it was kind of like Booger from Animal House going on One More Disney Day when you were there. That's the impression I got.
Can I just tell all of you something?
See, I've never seen that movie. So.
Bob!
What? It's a classic, Bob.
Are you kidding me?
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, next week on Mouse Chat, we'll have Bob's review of Animal House.
Okay.
Okay, that is your homework.
Well, anyway, you were starting to say, Chris?
I actually, now see, Matt, I just want to tell you that actually you're spot on because Bob and I were discussing One More Disney Day earlier in that morning. And granted, he hadn't had any sleep, but I was like, so Bob, how was it? And he was just like, he didn't like it. He was, you know, he was disappointed. And I'm like, Bob, come on. And so you're actually getting the edited version of Bob's feelings about One More Disney Day.
Well, I mean, it was just one more ordinary day. I don't think I was negative about it. What? What?
No.
The park was open at night.
Bob, part of your charm is that you're negative, but you were kind of negative.
What? How was I negative? Really? I don't think I was that negative. I mean, overall, I mean, it was an enjoyable experience, but I mean, it's at the end of the day, I mean, the park was open for a lot of hours.
That's why you got that email. And before everybody emails me, I just realized that Booger was on Revenge of the Nerds. So send all your hate mail still to Bob.
Thank you. I honestly don't think it was that. I mean, you know, Matt, fine, you stay up for hours and hours and hours, okay, get a horrible chest cold and sick, okay, and have
you got a horrible chest cold from the park? You were sick beforehand.
No, well, I think I had a cold that I was getting over and being up all day and all night. And by the time I got home, I had basically been up for 24 hours anyway. So, you know, but I mean, ultimately, yes, all it was is one more day. I mean, it's not like it was anything special. So, I object to the comment that that Vietnam War veterans have recalled their experience with more fun.
You know, I can remember my dad talking about Vietnam with much more happiness than you talked about One More Disney Day.
Oh, come on. It was not that bad.
Oh, absolutely. He loved those beaches.
Bob, tell me something positive about One More Day.
This is like an intervention.
What did you expect? You said that it was just another day. What did you expect?
Well, I didn't expect anything from it, so... So, I mean, I didn't expect anything from it. I mean,
I mean, then how could you be disappointed?
I wasn't. I don't know why he thinks I was.
It was kind of like your take on the 40th. And granted, you know, you and I had absolutely opposite takes on the 40th.
The 40th was awful.
Oh, no, I'm right on the 40th.
Yeah, the 40th was horrible.
They dropped the ball on that. That was terrible. Do not even go
George,
there.
George, back me up. It was great, wasn't it?
It was blasé.
I got stuck on the people mover. That's awesome. For like 30 minutes in front of the...
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, One More Disney Day was handled better than the 40th by Disney, so that's great. That is a positive. Also, I got to see inside the TTA with the... with the lights on.
Oh, Space Mountain. Yeah, I saw your photos.
This was cool. Bob,
but you I got mentioned to spend. That. I was at work while you were at Disney World. I was at home eating supper while you were at Disney World. I was going to bed while you were at the Magic Kingdom at Disney World. I had to get up and take a shower while you were still at Disney World.
No,
I
mean, by then he was at Kona having Tonga toast.
Yeah, well, that's true, yeah.
But
well,
I was about 7:30. At Disney World. I mean, I'm still at property.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was still 24 hours in the Magic Kingdom. I mean,
I would have loved to have gone. And it Bob, it is part of your charm that you're kind of a curmudgeon, and we all love you. So
I don't know. Matt, respectfully, and I heard that. I hate you all. This is what I have to put up with as friends. You see this? No respect, absolutely none.
Oh, go on.
Matt, I respect your opinion, but I respectfully disagree with your opinion as well. But I don't know.
I have to disagree with Matt's opinion as well. I don't think you were that much of a downer on that particular issue, but many others, perhaps you are.
Well, again, part of my charm, I'm a realist.
Well, and you're sort of the foil to the pixie dust crowd, and I do appreciate that.
Well, okay. Well,
I'm not even saying.
I like to consider Bob the Simon Cowell of Mouse Chat.
Yeah. I'm going to start wearing black t-shirts everywhere, even in inappropriate settings.
But I always wear black t-shirts. There's no inappropriate settings for a black
t-shirt. They're way too small.
You're going to wear one to Remy on the cruise ship when we go?
Yeah. That would be great. Yeah,
you're white sometimes too. On the cruise ship.
All right. Well, anyway, Matt, you know, I'm sorry to disappoint. Perhaps if Disney does do one more Disney Day in 4 years, you can go. And if Mouse Chat is still around in 4 years, you can
stop laughing like that.
And sorry.
How do you want him to laugh?
I don't know.
Okay, and we have one more, and this comes from Angela from Sacramento. It says, "Hello, everyone." And I'm sure that's how she said it in her head when she wrote this. "Hello, everyone. I need some help deciding if my husband and I should get the dining plan for our December trip. This will be our second trip ever to the world, and we will be going for 10 days this coming December and want to do Cinderella's Royal Table for breakfast and the Candlelight Processional Dinner package, and each of these are 2 table service credits. If we do the plus dining plan, then we would only have 6 table credits left, which then would cause us to pay out of pocket for some of our meals. The other option would be to get the deluxe dining plan, but when we went to the World on our first trip, also in December, we just could not eat all the food that you get with that plan. What are your thoughts on what to do in this situation? Thanks so much for a wonderful podcast, Angela. Well, thank you. And I think you're on the right track. With the deluxe dining plan, I think it is smart to try to use double table service credits. And if you try to do them as single credits, you're going to be so full, you're going to be tied up time-wise for so long. I think for most people, I'm not saying for everyone, but for most people, if you're going to do the deluxe dining plan, look into those signature dining restaurants and some of the shows, the Candlelight Processional, that's perfect. Cinderella's Royal Table. Try and use them up because you're not going to want to sit down for 3 meals every day. And you don't have to. It's simply 3 meals a day any way you want them, quick or table service. So those are my thoughts. Anyone else?
I agree with you, Lisa. I think, you know, you can use those 3 credits by let's say doing one table service credit at like a breakfast buffet, and then 2 at a signature, and then, you know, you've got 2 very good meals. Mm-hmm. You know, in there you've used 3 credits. It allows you to do all the signature dining that you want to, and there are some fantastic signature places that you'll, you know, be able to choose from.
And it sounds like it's just Angela and her husband. She didn't mention kids. And I think that makes it easier to do signature dining. Mm.
Can I just say that I actually probably wouldn't do the deluxe dining plan anyway. I would probably go ahead, get the base plan, look at all the menus, and pay out of pocket to cover the distance or the difference. Because I actually consider the deluxe plan for my family back in December. And what I found was that the difference between the base and the deluxe, I couldn't meet that difference just with my extra dining that I wanted to do, that I still save just by paying out of pocket at certain places. So, I mean, ultimately what you'd probably want to do is go ahead and you do the math, go to someplace like allears.net where they have the menus online. Just keep in mind those menus aren't always up to date. They're probably a little old. And I don't think they reflect the price changes that are probably going to go in effect this year. But it'll give you an idea of what you can do. And, I mean, ultimately, I'd probably use the base plan, but that's just me.
That wraps it up for this week's show. Thank you to PixieVacations.com for sponsoring this podcast. I also want to thank George for popping in. George, what's the new project you've got going on?
Well, I'm working with Jeff Heimbach, and we do a weekly video podcast called Communicore Weekly. And we sort of look at some of the geekier sides of Disney stuff with Disney history and the five-legged goat. And we do bathroom breaks on occasion, but you have to tune in to see what those are.
Okay, and where would they tune in?
Oh, well, it's on the Mice Chat YouTube channel, but you can also go to CommunicoreWeekly.com, and that will take you right to the YouTube channel as well.
And how often do you do this?
Weekly.
Just
checking. We do one usually released on Tuesday evenings as quickly as Jeff can get them done.
Okay. They're very amusing.
Well, thank you.
So check them out. All right. Don't forget that you can download our shows at mousechat.net, and you can also go to iTunes and you'll find them there. You can send your comments and questions to comments@mousechat.net, and we hope you join us again here next time on Mouse Chat.
How often do you do Communicore Weekly?
That was a...
Come on.
every leap year.
It seemed like a reasonable question to me.
What, did it come across as a joke?
No, it didn't. It came across as like...
It came across like a legitimate...
Did it?
Do you know what, though?
Is dry humor a little too dry?